Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin Royal.
And we open the whole thing up with Hey Mario by Patent Pending. Really excellent high energy, like bro advice for Mario to just drop Peach. Like, you don't need that in your life, man. Just go off and...
I don't believe in the big friend zone thing.
No.
But Peach has been asking for boyfriend level requests.
Well, you know, it's not an accident that she keeps getting kidnapped by Bowser. Mm-hmm. Just saying that. Also, the original this is a weird intro to the show because we're just automatically jumping into the geek and nerd knowledge.
Mario.
Do you know that Peach originally was Luigi's girlfriend?
Yeah, it was Daisy or somebody.
Daisy was Mario's.
And then they switched.
For some reason, I don't know why, Princess Peach, Princess Daisy, I don't know.
I think because Peach got more popular than Daisy, and it's like, well, you got to have the most popular with the most popular.
I guess. It's because that's how life works, right?
Everyone? Yeah, that's
wink, the... Winky face.
It's like a high school.
Why do you have to be so mad? Anyway, this is the Experience Points radio show. This is where we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. We're going to do that again tonight. We have a website. It's exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. It's Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Spotify. Yeah. YouTube. I guess Spotify isn't really social media, but
it kind of is. I think because you're sharing something.
You can
socially.
Watch what other people are. I guess you could listen to what other people are listening to at the same time. That's kind
of
neat.
It was a gap left in the stalking repertoire of somebody else. You can know everything except their music.
We know where you live, but we don't know what music you like.
Exactly. There was a demand for that.
It's interesting
Creepers.
Because when you listen to the same music as everyone else at the same time, that's what radio is. That's what that is. I'm sorry, but like it
what
already
if we took.
It already existed. What do we put it on the radio? We're going to cut to a song. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what we did last week. This is History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 from the Meg's excellent off the, I think, the Blue Album or the Red Album, one of those. We're going to come back. We're talk about what we did. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin Royal.
And this is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And we just heard History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by the Megas. Let's break into the most historic of segments, what we did last week. Dustin, what did you do? Because I can't do this first. Like, yeah. I have to think while you're talking. I'm like, what did I do last week? What did you do last week, sir?
I had my birthday last week.
Happy birthday,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Like, your birthday was, you're 28 now.
27.
So you're 27, okay. Because
yes,
you said they said last time, okay.
Yeah.
You lied to me last time.
No,
you were 26.
I'm just dumb and confused. It's not lying if you're just a moron.
Welcome to adulthood, sir. You're dumb and confused. Well, happy birthday, man. Did you do anything crazy?
Nothing I want to disclose on the thing. But we went out to a very nice restaurant in Baton Rouge. And then Saturday, the day after, we had a bunch of people over. Sunday, somebody made me a bunch of pies. I had somebody take me out to dinner.
A bunch of pies?
I had chicken pot pie and apple pie.
Oh, those are two really good pies.
Those are like our two favorite pies.
Man.
So I was very happy. So, and then my friend's like, we still gotta go out for your birthday. And I'm like exhausted. I'm like, it's done.
I've been going out for my birthday. I'm going to die sooner if we keep going out.
But I had a fantastic time. I treated myself. I got $100 worth of Nintendo Moonies.
Nice.
Spent it on two things. Got Minecraft. Pocket Edition, Minecraft Switch edition.
Switch
version for that. Plays mostly the same. And I also got, I didn't think I'd be interested in getting this, but I'm super into it, is Mario Rabbids World. And I
saw you playing it, and then I'm hearing you, like, while prepping for this show, like, I hear you go, dang it, just yelling and everything in the other room,
censored.
Like, I almost had him! And
a censored version of what I was saying,
but very cool. You're enjoying it, then.
I'm enjoying it. It plays a lot like, if you wanted to teach your son how to play XCOM before playing XCOM, which is, it's a squad-based, turn-based shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of fun. It has a great Mario and Rabbids twist on it. I love the Rabbids. I think they're hilarious. They make me laugh. Some people don't like them because it reminds them of Minions a little bit.
But the Rabbids are from Rayman, right?
And the Rabbids are Rayman, and yeah. They're owned by Ubisoft.
Right, because Ubisoft developed this game. That's the interesting factoid, right?
Yes.
Is that this is not a Nintendo first-party game.
It is not, but I tell you what, Nintendo was not letting them just do whatever and half-butt it.
They've got to... I mean, so whenever you have an IP as big as, like, Mario...
Yeah.
You know, you have to... You can't... Back in the day... Well, one day we'll do another throwback show to, like, the CDI and things like that. Because we've talked about it before, I think, on the show maybe last year. One day we'll go back to 83 and 85 and the licensing, you know, snafus that have gone through, but... Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting that for the first time in a really, really, really long time, Nintendo has allowed someone, mm-hmm. some other company, to take part of their IP and do something with it, and mm-hmm. it worked really well, seemingly.
I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
Miyamoto even was like, yeah, this is like, it's a game that I would have made. It's a game that I would love to play. And I'm like, well, dang, when he says it, okay.
Yeah, and it absolutely feels like that because the aesthetic is absolutely on the nose for what they want for Mario.
Nice.
And it's got, but it does have a level of writing and sense of humor that I
from
think
Rayman
is
all,
that's
and
a little
Ubisoft.
More adult.
That's
it's
good.
A little more adult,
well,
than I think that's for.
That's fantastic because I've always thought that like Metroid was one of Nintendo's most adult series.
Yes.
That you know, it always skirted that PG-13, PG boundary. Mm-hmm. And then probably other than that, like maybe Zelda, but only because like I think the internet and society sort of helps with that a little bit more because they age and they mature and they sort of fan fiction out a lot of that information so that even though there's a ton of story in Zelda and there's a ton of story in Metroid, but the Alterverse story is sort of extended based off of the society.
I think the Zelda one, it feels adult because the gravitas of the story.
Right. It's big. People die the time in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Metroid, there's like a genocide of entire races in Metroid.
It's
pretty
crazy.
It's I would say, arguably more difficult to play. And I think technically more difficult games trend towards, you know, because like kids, I can give my godson, he's 12 years old, you know, I can give him a video game and he can pick it up and he can go around and play, and he plays Minecraft a lot,
but he
sees a bunch of colored blocks. He doesn't really understand like the science. He's not going to make a calculator in Minecraft or something, because that's a technically difficult part of the game that you definitely can do, and only really adults do it. Or kids that see it on YouTube and then just like copy and paste it from YouTube. So, well, cool, man. I'm glad that that's like a good game because it's a good step up between Zelda. You're kind of coming off of Breath of the Wild and then going into Odyssey eventually. You know, you're not there yet. It's not out yet.
It's a good filler.
It's a good something to burn. Yeah, that and Mario Kart. I've just been playing a ton of Mario Kart.
It's Mario Kart's at standby.
Yeah.
But I'm Mario Odyssey's next month. I believe.
Yep. The 24th or the 27th, I think. Yeah. So October 24th, 27th, one of those. And I know the 27th, I think, is the 24th is Destiny 2. And then the 27th, there's a bunch of games coming out. There are so many games coming out. Yeah. I've forgotten actually all of them right now in this moment. But October 27th is going to be a call into work sick day. Like, you know, I'm sick because I can't consume the happiness so much. You know, it's going to be really good.
So what did you do last week?
Thank you for asking, Dustin. I beat a while back. I played Fallout 3 from start to finish and all the DLC, and I was generally happy with it. And then I played Fallout New Vegas, a Fallout that I kind of skipped. I did not play New Vegas when it originally came out, past the original storyline. Most of the side questing was sort of ignored, and I realized that that was a disservice to the game. Mm. I went back and I played Fallout New Vegas in its entirety, and then as chronologically all the DLCs. And I have to say that is one of the best gaming experiences I've ever had. Obsidian did a fantastic job taking the source material and doing what they did to it. It's better than Fallout 3. I don't care what anyone says. It's better than, that's my opinion, but it's better than Fallout 3. And it's such a good game, and it still works on Windows 10 modern PCs. It's really good. Now, I modded it to hell and back. I mean, I added probably upwards of 30, 40 mods to it to balance the game, to increase the fidelity of the game, to add storms and different lighting effects and really, really cool things to the game that I feel most games now sort of have. Anyway, I I realized that, you know, after Fallout New Vegas, logically, you go to Fallout 4, which is a very modern game. I think it came out, what, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago?
I think it's been a couple now.
I've played it. I played the original. I think I played the first DLC because I had the season pass because that's what they're doing now.
Yeah, that's what I had.
I didn't play the Nuka World. I played Far Harbor. Mm-hmm. But I didn't play anything past Far Harbor. So the contraptions, the vault tech underground bunker stuff, I never got into that. Mm-hmm. So now I'm coming back to Fallout 4 and I probably have 50 mods on it. And it's really great because there's all these mods that change the look of the characters. So it's unexpected. It's like I'm playing the game for the first time because when I see this character, I'm like, oh, I get to see this really beautiful, you know, whether it's Kate or Piper or Curie or even Desdemona. I'm like, no, that's not right. Red Dead Dodonia. Desdemona is in there. She looks completely different, and the glasses are transparent, so that stupid guy with the glasses that's like, yeah, I'll vouch for you. Like, that guy it looks a little bit different, and everything about the game plays a little bit different. Now, it's still Fallout, but I'm going through, and I'm playing it. I'm appreciating it. I am really enjoying every aspect. The crafting aspect was something I sunk a lot of hours into early on, probably too many. I think I paid 30 hours for the game originally, 30 hours in the game. I had played 20 of them in settlement mode.
Yeah, and building stuff.
Just building stuff and not understanding why I was doing things wrong, so I dedicated some research to that. Yeah. And now I'm playing that. I picked up Horizon Zero Dawn again for a minute. Only to know that I'm going to have to restart the game.
You're so far, you just forgot how to play everything.
I hate when I do that.
That's the worst. What do I do?
I go in there and immediately, like, some Velocin Mecha Raptor comes out of the back and just, like, hits me. And I'm like, I don't know the buttons anymore.
Yeah.
And what is this? This is going to glue him to the ground. And it explodes in my hand. I'm like, oh, no, that was the wrong one.
It's one if you get out of. It is very hard to come back into.
I want to play it again because there's DLC coming out very soon.
Yep.
And I don't want to be spoiled. That's the thing. Like, I can kind of predict how the story is going to go. I can sort of understand that. So
it's a wonderful story.
But it's not necessarily unique.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to it. I need to dedicate more time to that. So I picked up that for a minute. And then I played a little bit in VR, Elite Dangerous, specifically in VR. And
how was that?
I love Elite Dangerous by itself. It is such a time sink of a game, and it's not necessarily like a game that you're going to play and go, I'm going to do everything in this game. It's a game that you carve out what you want to do. So for 3 or 4 hours, I literally just sold slaves. I picked up slaves. Well, okay, so hold on. Imperial slaves are a little bit different. They volunteer into slavery because to erase their debts. So it's sort of a indentured servitude situation.
Yeah.
But in space, we have other problems. Slavery is a normal, and it's not like it's a black, white, you know, African, English, European thing.
No, it's European kind of Rome almost.
Yeah, yes. It's everybody can be a slave. You could be a slave, and anyone can be a slave. If you have a lot of debts, we'll take those debts away, and you just got to be in this block of slaves that I trade in my ship.
There were gladiators that used to that would do exactly that. They were not slaves by chance, but they were working.
Right. I'm going to work off this. I'm going to wash these dishes, or I'm going to go fight a lion or more people, more dishwashers.
Also, fun fact, a lot of gladiators, Gladiator and Spartacus, the gladiators are dying all the time in that. Not really the case.
Really?
In ancient Rome. They were, think about it. They were expensive.
You train them.
You train them for so long, and you're like, what? I'm going to lose. I got, 12 guys, and I'm going to lose 4 today? No way.
That's a good point.
And so a lot of times they'll have these fights, and if the fight was good, and usually it ended with the guys going to first blood or like, all right, that's good. And the guy's like, that was pretty sweet. But then, of course, if people want to see a bloodbath, you know. Like,
put everybody in there and unleash the bears.
Well, you throw like 12 convicts at people, and then you got like 3 or 4 good gladiators, and you just let them.
Right,
they
mop up. Because convicts are just like, yeah, we're thieves. We're running. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this stuff. But they don't really have any fighting ability.
No, they have no. And their equipment was garbage and anything like that. So they were just getting murdered.
99% broken already. As they swing, the blade falls off, and it's like, dang, it's the. Mm-hmm. What is it? It's medieval times blades. It's just made of flint to sparks whenever you Xena the Warrior. That doesn't make any sense.
But there was different classes and everything. There was like guys with tridents and like big guys who would specialize with animals. There was a lot of irony of Gladiator and Spartacus make it more chaotic than it actually is.
Oh, so
Gladiator's
it was,
a little closer.
It sounds like it's the ringleaders, whoever's in charge of each side, are like playing like a Pokemon, like a card game,
and they're like
I use my Spartacus.
Yeah,
and they're like, well, I use my this. And
well, there's a lot of debate of Spartacus, especially because he says he's a Thracian gladiator. There's a class of gladiator back in the day called Thracian that used a net and a trident, I believe.
Okay.
So they don't.
But
know
they don't use from. They don't use a net and trident in the show, do they?
No. Yeah. Well, they don't. Well, that's the thing. There was a place called Thrace as well.
Oh.
That was in Greece.
Are they referring to the origin or the type?
That's the thing. Yeah. In history, they're not quite sure.
Well, that's you know what? That's an extra experience points for everybody
yeah,
out there.
History.
Now you know a little bit more.
It's about games, just way violent.
Well, you know, it's a tag we used to have is like you can be a nerd or a geek about anything, man. You can be a nerd or geek about like comic books or about music or about theater or about history or about me. I'm a Muppets geek. I love the Muppets.
The Swedish Chef. I
love the Muppets. I'm not gonna say that I'm an expert on the Muppets, but I watched all of both Muppets, the show, the new one, the original, and Muppets Tonight, unfortunately, the 2000s version of Muppets Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't realize it, but the Muppet Show actually ran in its entirety and then stopped going before I was even alive. I mean, like before, like years before I was alive. So it's interesting that like that was one of the most defining shows in my life growing up, and it was just VHS tapes of the Muppet Show. And now, of course, I own all the DVDs because the Muppets are amazing. But I digress. I think that's about all I did, though. I rode my motorcycle a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. It's been fantastic weather down here, so I've been riding a lot of motorcycles.
Saturday, I have now been encouraged to do my really first stream of something.
Oh?
I don't do streams of something. I don't like that. But we started playing. I was in my room, and I started playing a game called, I was just showing somebody, Little Nightmares.
I do not know this.
It ended up with everybody from the living room in the bedroom watching, and we're all screaming, and we're like, "Run!"
Is it based around like the voice?
It felt like
volume.
Well, it was interesting. Well, the game is very Tim Burton-esque platformer, and it's a very creepy feel to it.
Nice.
And it was just interesting playing it from a perspective of like. Like everybody's get engaged in this, and like Melody's like Melody and Fabian, who doesn't care at all about it, is like, we got it, we need to finish.
But they're invested into it. They've like they've bought stock in the game already.
Yeah,
nice.
I gotta figure out like how to get past this. But
I've always wanted to start streaming things, and usually it's like we did Drinking Game for a while before the flood. The flood sort of stopped it temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that's a part of the platform that I've always wanted to grow. That sort of has been difficult to coordinate. We had at one point, I think. I wish the radio, the audience could like help me, like call in, like yeah, you know, you had this. This is what you said a while back, but we used to have four or five people on the platform, and then that kind of got whittled down to two.
Yeah.
And then one for a while, and now two again. So, and I guess three, because Bear still helps with the platform. So, that might be something for us to talk about, not in front of microphones, to talk about for streaming officially.
Yeah, that would be a good. I think that'd be something there. Now, right now, in the land of the rising sun, Japan, they have the Tokyo Game Show going on right now. And they released a couple of things, some very interesting titles. The one you were telling me about, speaking of streaming and everyone, this segues well, actually, into group activities, is one where you're on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
And to explain it like you explained it to me, it's a cop drama where it's kind of like Until Dawn or Beyond Two Souls.
Yes.
It is.
That's, in fact, the perfect description of it, because it's a David Cage-esque story.
Mm-hmm.
I say it's David Cage. There's these decisions that you can make, sort of a choose your own adventure. Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, the Beyond Detroit, Becoming Human, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of thing.
Where the narrative is the main gameplay.
Yes. It's all story driven. However, the decision making is accomplished via, again, you don't have direct control of these characters. You choose the big plot points, the decisions, and that affects a branching storyline.
Right.
Very similar to Until Dawn. So I can't remember the name of the company that made the production studio that made Until Dawn, but their next game is actually called Hidden Agenda.
Right.
And you play with a bunch of people, so you link your devices to the game session. Mm-hmm. And ideally, you're all in front of a big TV or something, and you are you make the decisions on your phone. You install, I think, a companion app or something, and you pipe in every time there's a decision that comes available. You send your choice, and based off of the choices of you and your peers, that's what happens in the game, or something happens in the game. And I believe the way that it was described is that there are going to be times where it's not a four-person game, so it's possible to have ties. Mm-hmm. It's also possible to have like three bad decisions and one good decision, and based off of those decisions, the game changes, but also you accrue points. You get scored based on how good, how bad, how effective, how ineffective, or how like how minority or majority your decisions are. Also, there are things or points in the game where maybe there's like a quick time event or something that you have to hit. I think the example they showed in the video was they were going into, you play a homicide detective and I think like a lawyer or a district attorney or something.
District attorney.
There was a part where they were showing some footage from like a news helicopter of people going into a house, and the homicide detective was going into the house, and she could have stepped on a wire that would have killed her, shot her, or her partner or somebody. Everyone in the game can die. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the game can that you have the potential to save, you can also lose.
Yeah.
So it could be a very bloody story. I guess it could also be a very like, oh, that's nice, I guess.
Yeah. Everyone's fine.
Everyone's fine. That's not drama. But get that on UPN, not get it off of TNT. But anyway, they have moments where those quick time events could help you avoid a trap, and you gain points that way as well. So that's just the first thing from Tokyo Game Show that we and I mean, it's only just really started. We're recording this on Tuesday on the 19th, so you know we're gonna try to update things next week as much as possible, but there's a lot of stuff coming out of TGS. Let's cut to two songs, come back and actually break into all of what we have right now that we have from TGS. If you don't mind, Dustin.
I do not.
This is Replica by Miracle of Sound. It's from the Prey game, the latest Prey game. Really good. I love Miracle of Sound. This so Replica good. And then Bizarro Genius Baby by MC Frontalot. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin Royal.
And this is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is the Experience Points radio show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
We just heard Bizarro Genius Baby by MC Frontalot. We opened the whole thing up, though, with Replica by Miracle of Sound. That's from The Prey. I love that game. So good. The original was really good, too. But
I remember that the dimension jumping was very neat.
It was super like different for the time. Like you didn't have games like that. It was very technical.
That should have been more popular. And then they were going to – they scrapped what – they were going to do another Prey.
They were going to do a sequel where you were like a bounty hunter.
I like that.
I think it was a 2008 trailer, like a tech show trailer or whatever, and it just never saw the light of day. Nope. We're running short on time, so we're going to blitz through the Tokyo Game Show for what we know right now. Minimal commentary. Actually, we're not, that's a lie. We're going to talk a lot.
It's
a
maximum commentary.
Maximum commentary.
It should be maximum.
So we are doing Tokyo Game Show. It is, I think, the first day Sony's conference just sort of got over with. So a lot of this is Sony specific, but if there are parts where, you know, it's a cross-platform game, you know, we'll try to add that in. So
Final Fantasy IX, they talked about that.
Yeah, Final Fantasy IX will be getting a PlayStation 4 release at some point in 2018. Or no, I'm sorry, it's released now, actually. surprise, it's released now.
Matt, let me read everybody's mind real quick. Final Fantasy VII, they say anything about it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Moving on.
But Cloud did make an appearance. We're going to get to that a little bit later. Okay. It's going to be a port of the PC, probably. Mild enhancements, a little bit of HD textures, but nothing crazy. Right now, it's actually until the 26th of September. You can get it for a deal online, $16.79. After that, it's going to go to $21 and probably stay
there. That's a fair price.
I don't know if it's fair. I played Final Fantasy IX. I'm like, yeah, this is, I guess, a whatever thing. Like, cool. if you'd liked it, you know, I jumped from Final Fantasy VII because that was like the first PlayStation game that I had to, Final Fantasy X has voice acting. This is weird. And Final Fantasy XII, which was actually really cool. And then I pretty much stopped playing it. I tried, what was the one, 13,
which
was
Lightning.
Yeah, which was like, yeah, that's cool. Like, again, the internet's going to make some porn out of this. But
very pretty.
This is something you and I both really kind of were like, oh, wow, really? And then immediately were like, oh, really? Anubis, Zone of the Enders, second one, the second runner. Oh my gosh, they're redoing it? What if I told you enhanced graphics, Dustin?
Okay.
What if I told you 4K support, Dustin?
Okay.
What if I told you new sound design, Dustin?
Okay.
What if I told you it's coming to PS4, Dustin?
I want another Zone of the Enders,
What if I told you it was just a remake and a VR remake for PlayStation VR?
I'm going to...
It's coming. It's branded in a weird way, too. It's called Anubis Zone of the Enders, and then it's Mars, but the A is upside down, so the A looks like a V, and then go to R. So Mavar, VRs, very strange.
Hold on. I swear to God, if you make one more thing and re-release it for VR, I'm going to lose my mind.
Konami. It's Kojima's done. That's he can't do it. It's only in Konami. And it's coming out spring 2018 for everybody that owns PlayStation VR. You know what, though? PSVR isn't that bad. I've tried it.
That's not a great sales.
It's not. It was like, hey, it's not as bad as other things. You could. It's better than a potato, you know. So, new stuff though. Left Alive.
I saw a glimpse of that on the thing, but I didn't.
It's very. So the trailer didn't say much. The trailer was like a pullback. It was very Hitchcockian zoom of like a shining hallway in a hotel. And there's like a Christmas tree on one side, and it's changing, and then it's like pulling back, like it's
a
retreating.
Kubrick shot.
Yeah, a Kubrick shot. I said Hitchcockian, but sorry. I meant Kubrick. No, you know what? Hitchcock zoom actually might be the correct thing. Kubrick
used it. I think
you
are right. Though.
I think I am correct.
Yeah, you are.
So you suck it, Dustin. You suck it. No, it immediately there's a war zone. There's like some bullet holes that go through a door into a wall, and you still keep kind of zooming back, and then the door kind of falls in and there's dust everywhere, and then when the camera kind of adjusts to it, the entire wall is blown out and it pans to the left and you see some mechs on some helicopter contraptions flying into a destroyed city. So there's mechs. There seems to be war. Or just a bad day. But here's the lineup. Here's what I'm interested in.
These protests are getting out of hand.
They're getting out of look. Trump's not that bad. Not worth all of that, guys. No, it's coming out in 2018 for PS4 and PC, but the lineup is what gets me. So we've got on character design Yoji Shinkawa from Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
So the Metal Gear Solid designer is just fantastic.
I know when they were going to, some of them were going to be grabbed after the...
The mech designer. Oh, yeah, especially after Konami did their thing.
Yeah.
The mech designer is Takayashi Yanase from Ghost in the Shell Arise and from Gundam 00, or Gundam OO.
That man knows how to design
Yeah, right? So that's fantastic. The director is Toshifumi, Nabashina. I need to write better. From Armored Core. So we have Armored Core's director. And then we've got the producer is Shinji Hashimoto from Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts. There's no, as far as I'm aware, no bad. That's a good lineup.
That's good. And it's like, so, but I would like to see what that trailer is nice, but are they, what they're trying to
pitch?
Oh,
it's all CG. It's all.
Right. It's a CG trailer, not actual gameplay. Yeah. Are they trying to? Well, that's the that's okay to do.
It might be in engine
as long as it's very relative to what the actual game is.
I am pretty sure that was an in engine thing. It was just choreographed, no gameplay, but it is the actual.
This
it's
is
not.
How
yeah, it's not like
it
it's a pre rendered thing. It's just an in engine gameplay or non gameplay thing. So
well, if that's an engine, what I think the pitch of that is really good, like Call of Duty, but a big open area with lots of mechs blowing stuff up.
Oh yeah,
kind of
Mech Warrior. What was the one? Mech Warrior Online changed
Mech
into
Mech Assault Online or something.
Mech
like
Assault
that?
Online was one of those where it was big. It was like 40 people, 40 mechs in an area, big area. So
yeah,
but no, that's gonna be great. We have a slew of things that barely got touched on. the Earth Defense Force 5 is coming out. Iron Rain. That's looking as ridiculous in Starship Troopers campy as possible. that'll be out in 2018. Monster Hunter World, you and I both sort of like, did they say anything more about World?
Yeah.
They had a trailer drop, and it's nice. I don't know. I mean, I haven't played Monster Hunter in a long time.
It's one of those
time.
You play, and it's better.
wrapping up, we said Cloud was going to come back. Dissidia, Final Fantasy, NT. It's just a beat 'em up. Sort of what's the beat 'em up, the big giant Dynasty Warriors esque
sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. I mean the Wu Force guys. Yeah, those dudes.
It's really big.
Hack and slash.
13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim. That's a Japanese RPG. 2018. Mm-hmm. Dragon's Crown Pro, another Vita esque or from the Vita JRPG. 2018. Bravo Team, which is actually a Japanese inspired or Japanese created Call of Duty SOCOM looking thing. Very interesting.
That we see. They do some. That's one of those things they do very. Japanese will tend to do in depth. And it's one of those systems that could be very in depth.
It's interesting that that is what they are. Like they're trying to compete with the Call of Duties and the Battlefields and the all of those. And then Hidden Agenda, we already talked about. And right. That apparently is going to be out this year.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's something we didn't talk about in the last segment. But yeah, it's supposed to be out 2017. So I'm looking at holiday 2017, which. When you think about it, it's really just the companion app that they need to work on.
Yeah,
so.
And I'm not sure how that'll do for long stories, because how long can you have your four friends on a couch at any one time?
I don't know. Maybe it's like acts. Maybe it'll be like Left 4 Dead based. Like there will be like an act or a segment or
maybe episodes.
Episodic. Episodic
like
would be really
games
good.
Does.
It would be fantastic if it was episodic because you can have a 3-hour session or a 2-hour set or maybe an 8-hour story broken into 4 or 5
episodes.
You know, episodes. And then you release another episodic pack or whatever, episodic pack. That'd be really great.
That'd be awesome. Well, we're out of time.
We are out of time. Let's cut to one song. I think we can shave some off in the next segment. This is the Chiptune Legacy by Big Giant Circles. It's a fan favorite. I've had my mom say that she really likes it when she listens to the show, so I'll play it for you, Mom.
Aww.
Big Giant Circles. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin Royal.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. Mm-hmm. I'm still MG.
I believe I'm still Dustin.
We, quantum flux. We might not be, but then we might be. As well as Schrodinger, right? That's a Schrodinger's cat thing.
Oh, geez, Rick. I can't deal with this.
I've been looking up Rick and Morty costumes because if I shave all of the beard and I get the hair and I put it in a wig and then I get there's a mustache, like blue mustache
you can do the big unibrow.
Then you wear khaki, like
it's,
dark color khaki.
It's a good costume. It's an
easy
costume.
It's really easy. The shaving would be a thing, but it'll grow back. I mean, that's not a big deal.
I know I'm a Morty.
Are you a Morty? You sure?
I don't know.
But you're the Mortiest of the Mortys.
Oh, jeez. I love doing that. But the Tokyo Game Show, we're probably going to be catching more on as the details go.
Oh, yeah. Next week, we're going to have a lot more information.
A lot more, because I'm going to be caught up. I'm going to be watching all these trailers. I'll probably end up spending what I do every time there's a game show, spending 2 or 3 hours on the computer watching nothing but trailers.
The nice thing about TGS is that it's in sort of the off segment of time for us because when it's happened, like we wake up and we're like, oh yeah, you know, you play the morning, the Fantasia-esque morning music and you're ready and you get your coffee or your energy drink. That's exactly what I was talking about. And then you go and sit down and they're not producing anything. When we're following E3, it's so difficult because E3 is happening and you're like, do I have to stay up to watch Bethesda's booth? Really? 11 p.m. Bethesda? What are you doing?
Goodness.
So
not to, and just like 3 days of it, the darn thing.
That's the thing. TGS, like, I think it's 3 or 4 more days from today. It's Tuesday. So, I mean, it's going until Friday this week. So 23rd, 22nd.
When do they get the good
stuff? When's they get the good stuff?
When's the good stuff? What day is that? Usually around the third or fourth day?
Third or fourth day. So the idea is that they're going to do the conferences and then they're going to do the floor days. And I mean, that's very common for a conference to do things like that. So, I mean, we're not going to miss much. By the time the next show comes out next Wednesday, we should have a better grip on exactly what's happened and the impressions from, you know, Polygon, IGN, Kotaku, the gamut of places, because they've actually gone and they're talking to and they're, you know, they're getting a lot of that sort of those discussions going.
Before we wrap it all up, what do you want to see?
Oh, man. I want to see... I'd love to hear... So Rockstar's not going to say anything. Rockstar say Red Dead.
They do their stuff independent.
I'd love to do Red Dead, but that's not going to happen. I would really like there to be something about Death Stranding from Kojima. I would really like them to announce that Metal Gear Survive got canceled and that Konami is filing Chapter 11.
I have that. That's, don't worry. That'll be at the end of this holiday season after that quarter's done.
What about you? What do you want to see? I don't want to see any more Harkin World War II Battlefield.
No, I don't want to do any more throwbacks. I don't want any more.
You know, we can't do it. I think we're going to see a lot of remasters, though. I think we're going to see a lot of remakes and remasters.
There was a game when the PS4 was first announced called Kingdom.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
I do not remember
that.
I
believe it was called Kingdom or something like that. And it was a display of all the beautiful processing power they could do. It was like this. And they showed us off. And it was just, it was sold as a real game. They said it was a real game that they were making. But then they were like, is anything happening? Like, meh.
Oh, okay. So it was more of a tech demo, sort of just
looking
how hot and sexy this thing is. Right. Look at this beast. It's got some teraflops processing
power.
And
that's the thing with the PS4 Pro. I'm like, could you maybe go back?
It's got it now.
That?
Well, they're not going to make it if it's not going to work on the original PlayStation 4.
But I sure would like that game. Yep. And, of course, I would like something on Final Fantasy VII just to say. I just want just a release date, man.
Square Enix probably will do their own conference. And Nintendo's going to do theirs, too. I'd love to see Virtual Console with GameCube and N64.
That's probably they're probably going to do something like that with the Switch and everything like that.
Let's go ahead and end out the show.
Okay.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. It's been really great. We do this every week. So check out next Wednesday from 9 to 10, and we'll probably be here doing similar things unless those daggum sports overload us.
Can we talk about next week? I want to talk about – here's a little preview. I want to talk about the Tokyo show.
Right.
We'll end up with that. I want to talk about those licensing things, those nightmarish licensing things
okay.
that happen.
All right. We're gonna go throwback 83, 85. We're going to talk about Atari and pretty much the downfall of video games back in the day.
Bear and I did it.
I'll have to go back and listen to that show because I don't want to retread everything, but it is really good and it's fantastic to get a second opinion about that. We have a website, exppoints.com. Remember, double tap that P. We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. That's our landing page. You get Facebook, Google+, Twitter, YouTube, Steam Community, all of those things. We're streamable on iTunes and Stitcher, and I promise, I swear to deities galore that I will cut the audio together and I'll upload it to the server and I will make it available because I am getting progressively farther behind.
I'm in the same boat.
I might just take a weekend and do the 15 episodes that I'm backlogged on. So we're getting on two songs. This is How to Fire a Gun by Shale Riley and the Double Eyes Backfire. That's a mouthful. And then Dawn of the New by 6-2 Sounds. Dustin, it's been fantastic as always.
Stop it.
I'm your co-host, MG.
I'm Dustin Royal.
And this is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
I would like to learn how to fire a gun. In case it ever comes to that, I think it's something everyone should know. And I would like to learn.